Well, our next guest on Downtown is a talented sports writer, worked for the Kansas City Star, Sports Illustrated. He's the host of the podcast. If you subscribe to Joe Blogs on Substack, you can get his great work all the time. And is the author of a number of terrific books, including The Soul of Baseball, The Secret of Golf, and The Life and Afterlife of Harry Houdini. His new one is just fabulous. It's a must-have for all baseball fans. It's called The Baseball 100. We are pleased to be joined once again by Joe Posnanski. Joe, thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, Rich. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I love this book so much. I read many of the essays when they first came out on The Athletic, but this book is what being a baseball fan is all about, and it's sharing the stories of these great players.
Well, thank you for saying that. It means a lot to me. It's exactly what I was hoping for. Yes, it's the 100 greatest players in baseball history, ranked in order, for perfectly suited for argument's sake. But but as you say, it's really, for me, it's about the stories. Of course, I mean, this is, in so many ways, this is my, my love letter to baseball. I mean, this is all about why I love the game and why I'm such a big fan and have been my whole life. I mean, that's what's at the heart of this thing for me. But at the same time, it's perfectly suited so that people can yell at me for ranking, Sandy Koufax too low or something. So it really has been the thing that's been crazy for me is, you write an 880-page baseball book, and you're like, okay, well, this is going to be, this is going to be good. This is, really, really hardcore baseball fans are gonna like this. I think everybody's gonna get into this, but the success that this book has had in the first week has been just mind blowing. I'm so overwhelmed by it. So God, I'm telling you, Rich, I'm doing great.
Well, to me, this is one of those books that in the world of actual books, not virtual books, that people will come into your house and see that on the shelf and go, oh, all right, you're in my club. You're one of those people, because it to me, it's up there with the greats, Lawrence Ritter's The Glory of Their Times, and this is just a celebration of the game like nothing else.
Well, that's the could not be kinder than to compare it to a book like Lawrence Ritter's book. I mean, it is honestly what I hope it would be, and which is, this each of these stories, each of these players in this book, you can argue about, some of them, whether or not they should be ranked higher or lower, whether there should be other players in their place, whatever the case may be. But here you have these 100 great players, and each of them has such a remarkable story about what made them great, why they made baseball better. Their father and son stories in here. There are obviously integration stories in here. There are a bunch of Negro Leagues players on this list. There's a Japanese player on this list. And I think when you put it all together, I hope that it's like a little bit of a history of baseball. And so that's the hope. And it is substantial, So if you have it on your bookshelf, it's not like a super thin, David Sedaris book, you might miss it or something. It's a big fat book. If you have it on your bookshelf, people are going to notice.
Well, yeah. And you can use it as a doorstop too, if you want.
Exactly. Step ladder to fix your light bulb or something. I had one guy sent me a note saying that the book came in the mail and his wife thought it was the refrigerator that they had ordered. So I thought that was impressive.
So many great stories. I have to ask you about a few. And the one that I think I was most fascinated with, because I didn't know very much about it, are you sure that Bullet Rogan is not a fictional character?
Unbelievable, right? Unbelievable character. And, there's the thing that I think is going to be hopefully so fun for baseball fans is there are Negro Leagues players in this book that right? Josh Gibson, and Satchel Paige, and maybe, Oscar Charleston, from recent, Cool Papa Bell. But here's a guy, Bullet Rogan, who was, like a fictional character. He was Shohei Ohtani in the 1920s. He was a fairly small, stocky guy who was called Bullet because of his fastball. He was an incredible pitcher. And he might have been an even better hitter. You know, he played literally every day. And, of course, in the Negro Leagues, that was not uncommon for pitchers to play every day. But he played every day. He was a great hitter, great fielder, and great pitcher. And you're right. It doesn't seem possible. Of course, he's in the Hall of Fame. And I think people have a lot of fun reading about him.
And the bookend to Bullet Rogan, I think, is John Henry Lloyd, Pop Lloyd. But the best part of that story to me was not the Pop Lloyd story, but the Ted Harlow story.
Yeah. I mean, well, I got to say, I mean, the thing that's so incredible, the Negro Leagues is such a rich history, right? There's so many players. The thing that it's like the more we learn about the Negro Leagues, and now super fortunate, you know, I'm so proud of Major League Baseball for now including the Negro Leagues as a major league, right? So now their statistics are a part of the official record and all of this. We don't have that many statistics, but the ones we have are part of the record. But the thing is, the more we learn about it, the more incredible, crazy, unbelievable stories there are that are so rich and such an amazing part of baseball. It's like, it really is. Every time I would write about almost anybody on this list, but particularly when I wrote about Negro Leaguers, it just took me down these rabbit holes of legend and myth mixed in with these incredible stories, mixed in with the bittersweetness of you know, a guy like Josh Gibson who died, you know, just sad because he never really got to play in the major leagues. And so, you know, it really is just incredible storytelling.
We're talking with Joe Posnanski about the Baseball 100. I love the story of Sadahura Oh. Of course, I knew about the home runs. What I didn't know is that, well, his career began as basically a slacker who couldn't get his talent together.
And essentially became Sadahura Oh, the all-time home run champion and everything, through samurai training. Right. I mean, it's like, that's what's so wonderful about baseball. And I mean, it, you know, look, it's true on other sports, surely. But baseball's been around for longer, you know, among American sports. You have stories like that. I mean, when I said, okay, look, Sadahura Oh has to be on my list. He has to be on my list. He's, you know, and you talk to all of these players, and they all tell you how great he would have been in the major leagues. And, of course, we see that now. We see how Shohei Ohtani or Ichiro come over here and dominate the game just like they did there. And you've got to believe he would have done that as well. But then you hear the story of how he trained with a sword, and it's so wonderful, just so wonderful, Rich.
I'm fascinated by the early years of professional baseball before some of the rules that we know now became adopted. And so I love the story of Kid Nichols, a guy who is somewhat forgotten. And I was taking notes as I read, so I hope I got this right. Was it 7 30 win seasons in his career?
Yes. That's right. All in the 1880s. The thing I love about Kid Nichols is a great story because Kid Nichols, until about 1900, Kid Nichols was superior to Cy Young. And then Cy Young, you know, had another 10 years after Kid Nichols stepped out where he was dominant, and that's how he becomes, you know, the guy we named the Greatest Pitcher Award after and all of that. But Kid Nichols won 30 games under, I think, three or four different sets of rules. Like, the rules changed, like how many balls, you know, right, counted for a walk, and whether foul balls were considered strikes or not, and like three or four different rule changes, and it didn't matter. It's like Kid Nichols just kept dominating the game, and what a great story. And like his retirement, he ended up like kind of inventing a scoreboard system so people could like follow the World Series. When he invented this giant scoreboard. I mean, there's like each of these guys, especially some of the old time guys, their stories just, it's like you're going, okay, well, that's a really good story. And then you find out something else and something else and something else. And it just keeps going and going and going.
At number 61, one of the most fascinating stories in the book, a guy that some say might be the second best shortstop of all time, but you posed the question to people, which was, who's the least known great player in baseball history? And you'd be hard pressed to find a better candidate than Archie Vaughn.
Archie Vaughn, I remember I was watching a Kansas City Royals game, and they were playing the Pirates, and the question was something like, who was the pirate that had the most double. I can't remember exactly what the question was. But they listed all four guys. They were all four in the Hall of Fame. And Archie Vaughn was one of the people they listed. And the announcers were like, who the heck is Archie Vaughn? And these are two announcers who are really good friends of mine and great baseball fans. And they didn't know Archie Vaughn, who really, truly might be the second best shortstop in the history of Major League Baseball. I mean, that's stunning to me. But it was sort of the way he lived as well. I mean, he was a player who did not want attention, who was very, you know, very quiet, did not buy into any of the hype that, you know, that even at that time was a part of the game. And he just sort of went unknown. And then for years and years, he didn't get into the Hall of Fame. And finally he went in, you know, many, many, many years after his death. I will admit that I was probably, you know, pretty old when I first figured out who Archie Vaughn was, but what an incredible player.
As a New Englander, growing up when I did, Carl Yastrzemski was my favorite player as a kid. The first season I really paid attention to baseball was that unbelievable 1967 season. And you make a case that that's one of the great seasons in baseball history. But I love the story of Paul Pettit and what drove Carl Yastrzemski and his dad to hold out until they got the money they wanted to sign to be a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah, that was a story that just kind of kept going and going. Like, as I, you know, like a lot of these stories, he wanted to be the first person. Paul Pettit had signed a contract, I believe, was the first one to sign a $100,000 contract. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I know he signed a gigantic contract. And that inspired, I mean, that was truly what Carl Yastrzemski, he's like, I want to be like Paul Pettit. I want to make that kind of money. And he was an amazing athlete. And he went to Notre Dame on a basketball and baseball scholarship. He was an amazing athlete. And sure enough, his father and him, you know, but mainly his father, like, kind of used one team against another, negotiated, and ended up getting him this $100,000 signing bonus, which just to me was so fascinating. But you can't say enough, by the way, about that 1967 season. I really believe that, you know, there are seasons that you could say are better. I mean, Babe Ruth seasons when he out-homered entire teams, and obviously Barry Bonds at the end, we don't need to talk about that. But I don't think for pure clutch performance, the way he played in September when that team needed to win, and this team that nobody expected to do anything, when they needed to win to become, you know, the whole impossible dream thing, and he hit like 650 in those games. I mean, it was something insane. So to me, that is truly one of the greatest seasons in baseball history.
There are some tremendous statistics that you've unearthed in the book, but to me, I don't think anything was more impressive than the numbers Tony Gwynn had against Greg Maddux.
Here's the thing. You find a statistic, like, especially when you're doing a book like this, like, you find these really fun, cool, interesting statistics, including one of my favorites, that Gaylord Perry and his brother Jim, at one point, for one day, like 1976, had exactly the same record.
Yes.
It was like something like 214 and 187 or something, exact same record. I just that to me is so poetic. But I find out, I'm just looking up Tony Gwynn numbers, and I see that Tony Gwynn faced Greg Maddux 100 times or something, never struck out.
Yeah.
Now Greg Maddux was not a big strikeout pitcher. I mean, you know, he did strike out 200 in a year a couple of times, but he was not a huge strikeout pitcher. But that still seemed to blow my mind. How does that happen? And sure enough, I look, and it's unprecedented. I mean, there's nothing like it. There's, you know, to have a Hall of Famer face another Hall of Famer that many times without ever striking out one time. Incredible. Purely incredible.
Joe, was there anybody in the Baseball 100 that had more stories about them than Ricky Henderson?
No. As soon as you started that question, more stories about, it was like, yeah, Ricky Henderson. Ricky Henderson. Now, Ricky Henderson is number 24 in the book, and I think people who are big Ricky Henderson fans will know why. But Ricky Henderson is utterly and completely unique in baseball history. Not only because, you know, I think Bill James was the first one to say he's two Hall of Famers, right? He's a Hall of Famer as the greatest leadoff hitter ever, and he's a Hall of Famer as the greatest base stealer ever. It's like there are multiple ways that he's a Hall of Famer, but nobody has the stories, and they're all hilarious. They're all so funny, and it's funny. Since I wrote that piece, I've heard another 20 probably Ricky Anderson stories. Then when the Baseball 100 Volume 2 comes out, we'll have to get it in. But yeah, I mean he was utterly unique, just incredible player.
Now he didn't have the counting numbers that one would get from a long career, but as you say in the book, if the devil gives you one pitcher to play for your soul, you want Pedro Martinez, the 99-2000 version.
Yeah, I really truly believe that. I mean, look, and you could make that's really a fun conversation, right? Because you could certainly take Koufax in the mid-60s. You could take Bob Gibson in 68. You could take Randy Johnson any number of years, you know, Maddox when he was basically, you know, the perfect pitcher. But for me, I'll take Pedro, 99-2000. Just there was nothing you could do against him. I mean, he would never walk you. He would strike. He struck out, you know, whatever, 11, 12 per nine innings. He didn't give up hits. He didn't give up home runs. You had no chance. You had no chance against him at his very best. And his very best was not that long a period of time. But I'll tell you what. I mean, you could make so many good arguments for who the greatest pitcher of all time is, and it's very, very interesting conversation. But who's the greatest pitcher at their very peak, to me, is an even more fun conversation. And for me, it's Pedro Martinez.
I don't want to give away the number one because I want people to read the book, but I thought you would appreciate this. I have a baseball card from one of his best years that would be worth a lot more money if I hadn't written my name on it when I was about 8 years old.
Right. Well, but on the other hand, your mom didn't throw them out, right? So here's the thing, and everybody who knows, and there is, by the way, I will tell people if they want to look for it. There is an entire essay on baseball cards under Bert Blylevin, if they want to check that out in the book. But here's the thing. There's only two ways it can end, I think, for childhood baseball cards. Now, it's different now because everybody sort of understands the value. But for us growing up, it either ends that you ruin the cards yourself,
yes,
by putting them in the spokes of your tires or just writing on them or whatever, or your mom threw them out. That's basically, those were the only two endings that we had for baseball cards when we were growing up.
What's the biggest argument you've had from people? Any major disagreements with your list?
Oh, only 100 major disagreements with the Baseball 100. There are people that are not in this book that a lot of people think should be, and which they're right. I mean, it's not like they're wrong, but I mean, Pudge Rodriguez and Barry Larkin and Eddie Murray and Joey Votto and Shoeless Joe Jackson, on and on. There's a bunch of great players who are not on this list, and you could make a very strong argument for any of them. I think I've told people this, that my last 10, 91 through 100, I actually had 40 players that were candidates for that last 10.
Wow.
And so, you know, which just tells you how many great, great, great players there have been in the history of baseball. And then there are those that think that, you know, certain players are too high, certain players are too low. Of course, you hear all of that. And probably the biggest argument, being perfectly honest, is the number one argument. Who is number one? There are really, I would say, five or six very strong candidates for the greatest player of all time. And I've heard from, you know, everybody about those. So so I would say that, you know, but again, that's the point, right? I mean, for me, like, the point of this is to have these arguments, have these conversations. It's fun. That's the fun part about baseball, is I think we all have really strong opinions about these things.
Well, it's the kind of book I think fans will go back and read time and time again. When the dead of winter strikes us here in the Northeast, I can't wait to take that book out, open it again, and start reading more of these tremendous stories. So well-researched, so well-written, as is everything you do, Joe. Love the Baseball 100, and it's great to have you on to talk about it with us.
Thank you, Rich. This was a lot of fun.
All right. Good luck to you, Joe. We'll talk again down the road.
Definitely.
Thank you, Joe. Joe Posnanski, the Baseball 100.